You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When it turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Joining us today, we are delighted to spend this time with you and with our guest today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are always thankful when this very precious guest joins us, and I know that all of you will be too. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Good morning. My name is Lisa Cole. I work with Perinatal Support Washington, as well as United Indians of All Tribes in the Macaw Family Program.
Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It is an honor and a pleasure always.
We have so much that we enjoy about our visits with you. But one of the things we do love is that you keep it real. You help us to navigate so many things with authenticity and transparency. So, looking at your work and the world right now, can you help us a little?
I can certainly do the very best that I can.
Well, what do we need to know to make it through times like these as parents?
That the best that we can do is take it one day at a time. I am, as a parent myself, facing very difficult challenges at the moment.
Mm.
So it's funny that this conversation comes up now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as a parent, I'm taking it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Reminding ourselves that we are human. And we are very much imperfect compared to what society and the world labels as perfect. But we are, as parents, perfect for our children, or they wouldn't be ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to do my very best to remind myself that as a parent of my children, that I am doing the best that I can, and I am perfect for them, and they are perfect for me, because we can learn together and we can grow together and we can face challenges together. And I think that is also one of the most important things, is that we are in it together.
Mm-hmm. Children are wonderful teachers. What are you learning from your children right now?
So much.
Mm-hmm.
As a mother, I am learning to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And remind myself that I don't have it all figured out, because every milestone that they reach in life is a new challenge for us as parents.
Uh-huh.
When we bring our children earthside, it is an amazing and beautiful and wonderful experience. We hold them as tiny little human beings,
mm-hmm.
wanting to protect them
mm-hmm.
and keep them safe and navigate the world in the best way possible. And from that moment, we have to constantly remember that moment, and we have to sometimes be humble that we can't always protect them from
mm-hmm.
everything. And that is so hard, and it is humbling, and it is painful. But at the same time, as a parent, what I'm currently learning right now is that while I'm hurting
mm-hmm.
from choices that my 16-year-old has made,
mm-hmm.
I have to understand that she's hurting as well.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to figure these things out. Yesterday, in fact, I was really upset, and I yelled, and then I took a minute, and I looked at her, and I told her that I am hurt. Like, this is soul-crushing pain, spiritually in pain. But I looked at her face looking at me, and I remembered when she was a little baby
mm-hmm.
how much I wanted to protect her from moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to acknowledge that I know she's hurting too.
Mm-hmm.
That we are probably hurting the same, even though it's in different ways. But so I had to acknowledge her pain as much as I acknowledge mine. I think that sometimes we don't remember that. We are so consumed by stress and life and work and bills and food and just trying to make sure that they're safe and they're well, but we oftentimes overlook that they're hurting too in these
mm-hmm.
moments.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that when we raise our voice and we are frustrated and overwhelmed, but they're probably feeling that same way. And we always have an opportunity to repair damage. Like, we are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I try my best, I do, as a parent, to help navigate the world with them. And my imperfections get the best of me. And so I have to acknowledge that repair is needed, because I don't want my children growing up to be broken in this world. And I
right.
don't want to be the person that breaks them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. One of the beautiful things about the Creator is that He is an extraordinary co-parent. And as much as we love our children, the Creator loves them even more. And so when we start to think, oh, it's all about us, every choice we make is going to shape their life for eternity, that's actually hubris, because it's not the way it is. The Creator
right.
is going to make sure those choices work out in their favor and their best interest. And if we make a mistake, well, that's what the Creator's for, right? I mean, that's what prayer is for. If we were perfect, we wouldn't even need to pray. We'd just go around being perfect.
Right.
But since we're not, you know, the Creator loves us so much that even when we miss it, it can come back around and be made right. You know, some of the broken places can be our most wonderful blessings.
Definitely.
So, at this moment, for you and your family, when you're going through this, and I so much appreciate you sharing it with us, thank you. What does support for you look like? What would help you at a time like this?
Oh, my goodness. Like, I've been thinking about that, like, and I think about that, when I think about things like that, I think about my community, I think about the families that I serve as well,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so everything that I feel like I need, I feel like our community needs it too.
Yes.
And so I think of it as an us, and us as parents.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We need safe spaces to talk about real life things. I think I've mentioned this before, that we need to be able to have open, honest conversations about the struggles of parenting from birth to until they're in their 30s, maybe.
Forever.
Right, forever.
You know, who knows, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a lifelong thing. And so I think about as an Indigenous woman, as a Native woman and parent, that we need community. We need community so strongly, not just for ourselves, but for our children as well. This morning, I was just thinking about how can my child and I heal together in this? Mm-hmm. Not how can she heal and how can I heal separately?
Right.
Because from the time of conception, we are connected to our children, and they are connected to us spiritually. And this is not just a they heal, we heal thing. It's this, we need to heal together. And that goes back to needing community. You know, I just can't help but think that I want and need aunties right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need elders. I need our culture. I need our community, because I know that right now, especially during the pandemic and these very difficult times, that we are disconnected.
Uh-huh.
We have not been able to go to powwows. We have not been able to gather. We have not been able to, we don't have access to sweat often. And so that's so much needed. And I'm trying to navigate, how do I do that? Like, I work for an organization where I work with aunties. You know, they are aunties in my community. My children grew up knowing who they are. You know, and so just trying to voice, like, this need, but I also don't know how to voice the need, because it's such a sensitive thing. And I just know that my daughter and I need a little bit extra love right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are other parents out there that need that same type of love and support. And I'm trying to figure out, how do we do that? How do we get
mm-hmm.
that together in our communities? How do we how do we be able to navigate having a safe space for parents to go and enjoy a meal and talk about the hardships of parenting?
Uh-huh.
And one of those things is, like, being able to be honest about things.
Yeah.
Yes. We have, like, this scare tactic kind of mentality. Like, if we mention this, somebody's going to make a phone call, somebody's going to report me, you know, and this is just how I'm feeling right now. You know, I've heard so many people, like, I think I've even maybe said it at one time, that out of frustration as a parent, I just want to, like, throw the baby out the window. I've heard that, you know, and it's not that we literally want to harm our child. It's just, it's that metaphorically, we want to just release this heavy feeling of responsibility and navigating everything on our own. And so if we have that support, we can metaphorically kind of set the baby aside for an hour and have a conversation, not literally, like, leave it by itself, you know, but that's the kind of conversation. Like, I say that so openly, and, you know, someone might be like, oh, whoa, that's a little intense, but not literally. We love our children.
Mm-hmm,
I
yes.
know so
oh, yeah.
many parents who
oh,
love
yeah.
their children
mm-hmm.
from the time they first saw them until,
oh,
like, the very most frustrating moment, like, gosh, you're getting on my nerves, but I love you, you know, or I don't like you, but I love you. And that's a human response. You know, I don't always like my children, but I love them. I love them so deeply. But I also don't always like my sister, but I love her deeply, you know? So it's the same thing where we should be able to have that space to hold that reality. Like, I love my children. They get everything. They feel safe with me. You know, they feel comfortable enough to, you know, say, hey, can you pick up some burgers and milkshakes after repeatedly telling them, I have got to stop buying food out because it's costing too much money, you know, but it's creating that same space, and we can't create a safe space unless we have safe space as parents too.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your feelings on this with us. You know, the other day, I was really struck by the difference between perhaps the dominant culture and indigenous people, right? Because there was another mother who was saying she was so excited because her kids were about to be 18 this year. And I was sitting there sort of like blink, 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 crickets, you know, because, you know, it didn't mean anything to me. I mean, to me, I mean, I come from, you know, a culture where multi-generational families are the norm and intergenerational relationships. People live in the same holler their entire lives with each other. And so it didn't really mean anything to me. And she said, well, you know, then they'll be out on their own. Blink, 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 blink. Because
right.
I mean, to me, once you become a parent, you have signed up for anything and everything that comes for eternity.
Absolutely.
There is no such thing as on your own. You know, it just doesn't even work like that. And we're not talking about codependency, and we're not talking about some of the pathologies. We're talking about the fact that as tribal people, community was the norm. So if you needed to take a nap, one of the nieces can rock the baby for you. Right? I mean, one of the little sisters can help you to take care of your children. We had the aunties and the grandmas to give you wisdom and advice and all of that. And everyone was all together always. And so this utterly overwhelming sense of like metropolitan urban parenting where, you know, it's just you, good luck.
You know, absolutely.
Unbelievable to me. It just, you know, and then someone says, oh, it takes a village, and everyone nods in kind of this quaint patchwork way, right? It's like, oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then doesn't give the people the village, right? It takes a village,
right.
And then you don't get one. And I think we really have people languishing for this lack of love in their lives. And we are yearning for that. Generational, intergenerational, multi-generational love and connection. Creator did not make us to do this all by ourselves. Or even a couple of people. It was always supposed
right.
to be a group project. And we have to acknowledge, I think, that. And when we talk about the pandemic and how it has kept those communities distant, you know, that has a toll. It takes a toll on people. And maybe the remedy for that is to start doing what our ancestors did, which was being willing to sit down and talk to one another. Sit down and spend time. They saw time. You know, the first step in love is to listen. And I think a lot of our ancestors just saw time as the love language. We're going to help you. We're going to spend time with you. We're going to be there to support you and encourage you. And I think our culture tells us, no, you have busy and productive things to do. Go do them.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, maybe the most productive thing we can do is take care of one another.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I know that, you know, as listening to you talk about that, you know, I also, as much as I yearn for that, as much as I long for that, you know, as much as I want to connect that to our community, like I've been in conversation about how do we get this back in our community, because
mm-hmm.
we have white organizations implementing programs for our communities,
right.
when
mm-hmm.
we need to be implementing programs for our communities to give back to our community what colonization has taken from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the other side of it, as much as we long for this, as much as we need this, as much as we need to do this, we also, as a community, have so many of us that are broken mm-hmm. and have trauma and that don't know how to engage in conversation and communication because we've been left alone to do it on our own.
Right.
And reflecting on that as you were speaking, I also, you know, acknowledge that it's in our DNA.
Uh-huh.
It's in our DNA to be taken from ourselves, from our culture, from our community. And so while we are born, you know, this is a long thing that I've believed in, you know, from my firstborn and the trauma that he endured in his life as an individual, and then also being born from parents with trauma.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is our DNA, it is in our bloodline. And so the more trauma that is inflicted on us as we come earthside, the more trauma we carry. So we're carrying our trauma, our parents' trauma, grandparents' trauma, our ancestors' trauma, and so it just goes all the way back. And so reflecting on that, I carry the DNA of the original people that were separated from their community, that were ripped apart and taken away from their children and their families and their villages. And I have this strong desire to bring that back, but I'm also carrying my individual trauma of being separated and ripped apart from my family and my culture and my siblings.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really heavy. So I go into this, you know, how do we navigate bridging that gap between a broken community and community members that are broken?
Uh-huh.
How do we mend that? How do we heal that? How do we bring that back? You know, it would be easy to say, you know, we have this gathering, come join us. But it's, you know, going back to that, sitting with and communicating with, building relationship with, because we need to be able to trust one another as well. It's easy to say, come join us, but absolutely rebuilding our villages. That's what we need to do. And just reflecting on that, like, I mean, it's helping me actually with thinking about my vision that I have for my community in Seattle, Washington, and just acknowledging both sides.
Yes, yes. And I'm grateful that you're willing to do that, because I think we can get idealistic, right, and think, oh, the 1800s, back to that is perfect. Or we can get completely, you know, discouraged and just say, ah, we're all doomed. And so I see you finding the middle ground. How can we do this in a good, safe, practical way? I was thinking about, I made a present for my grandparents when I was at college, and it was a kaleidoscope. And I worked very hard on it. And it was glass art, and I really thought they were going to love it, you know. And so I sent it to them as a gift. And later, they told me the story of when they got it. They were so happy to have a gift from me and know I was doing well and all of that. But they said for the longest time, they looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and they couldn't figure out what it was or what to do with it. And then I guess at some point, my aunt said, well, just hold it up to the light.
Ooh.
And when they did that and looked in it, they could see all the colors and all of the wonderful glimmers and prisms and everything that was in it. And my grandmother said it was just like spectacular. And she said from that moment on, they spent hours looking in it. They took it outside and looked at it. They looked at it, you know, in different places and different ways, and turned it around and turned it upside down and saw different things in it. And so sometimes when we talk about these kinds of things that are so daunting and yet so necessary, we have to hold them up to the light.
Mm-hmm.
We have to turn them around a little bit. And one of the precious things we can do is go look at how our communities solved these problems before. So, for example, in my culture, we had a level of friendship that was family, right? You had a friend that was your brother friend or your sister friend, and they may not have been born your brother or sister, but you could adopt them. It was a ceremony. People recognized it. The closest thing I think of, like, in the dominant culture is, like, godparents, you know, where people are so close, they make each other godparents of each other's children and things. And you got a whole new family because that person's family was now your family, and your family was now their family, and it was a big old family tie. And so maybe we can't fix like the whole community, but maybe we can work on building some deep friendships, you know, kinship rituals, making kin. You know, maybe the mother God gave you was toxic and narcissistic and abusive, but in our culture, you could go get a better one.
You could
go get a good one simply through adoption, aunts, uncles. I mean, and this was not just play cousins or you know, oh, I really think they're cool people. This was a lifetime commitment. Everybody in the tribe understood this. It changed arrangements and family structures for the better. And so maybe some of those kinds of thinking can come back. You know, maybe we can't fix the whole community and all go live in a longhouse together, or it might not work yet. But maybe there are some remnants of our kinship adoptions and our friendship structures. And friendship's not even a strong enough word. You know, Hollywood calls it blood brothers, but that is it's even beyond that. Maybe we could take some of those kinds of things, you know, those kinds of really important gems and jewels from our traditions, and use them to build community while we're building community.
Yes, I will say that is necessary. I know that, like, I had my birth mother, she was not very, you know, she's not healthy. Mm-hmm. She's toxic, and I haven't had a relationship with her for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a woman who I spent a lot of time with, my oldest son, and she called him grandson, and he called her grandma. And I remember the day, it was probably about nine years ago. We were in the car, and I was talking to her about my mom, and she said, "Oh, well, I'll be your mom." Mm. And I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
And so she's been my mom, and she's been in community, and she was well-loved and well-known. And then on my 40th birthday this past year, she stopped by to bring me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some gifts for her, too, because about a year or two ago, I think maybe it was about a year ago, she said, "I'm gonna officially adopt you."
Oh, wonderful!
And this is what you need to do. You need to give me 4 gifts. So one of those gifts has to be a Pendleton blanket, and the other one has to be sweetgrass, because I love sweetgrass. And it took me time. Like, I took this very seriously. I prayed, and I had to find the perfect Pendleton blanket for her, and I did. And I had made her a drum, because for me as a parent, my children, they're my heartbeat. They are my drum. They are sacred to me. And I wanted to represent that with my mom. And I remember my son coming home telling me the story about the woman in the moon. And so there was that connection, because when he was little, before I ever met my mom, he would always look at the moon, and he said, "Why is it so bright?" I think I said, "Because at night when it's dark, the moon watches over us and keeps us safe." And so out of just the energy of the universe and creator connecting us, we are connected by the moon. So I got her a gift that represented the moon as well. And on my 40th birthday, she pulled up with a gift for me to tell me happy birthday. And I asked her if I could give her gifts, and she said, "Yes, but I will give you your name some other time." And I said, "Okay." Uh-huh. So as I gave her gifts, and I gave her partner gifts as well, and my children had gifts, like, this was ceremony for me.
Yes.
She said, "Okay, I'll give you your name." And she told me about the dream she had that was my name. Oh. And she says your name is Red Berry Woman, because you turn poison into medicine.
Oh, wow.
And that meant so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I officially got my mom on my 40th birthday. And I became adopted girl on that day. And I honor that, and I respect that. And then it was in November. She passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh. And that broke me. I mean, it was like I was finally wanted. Somebody wanted me. Somebody claimed me.
Yeah.
You know, that felt so good. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've been so broken since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been in survival mode. And that is really hard when you need community, you need culture, you need mm-hmm. ceremony. And that's what we, you know, that's what we need. Not just what I need, but we need in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have these moments when we're broken, we need to know where to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when, like, my DNA is strong. The mm-hmm. ancestors have, like, I don't know, it feels really, you know, powerful to me
yeah.
to feel my ancestors in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my son passed, and I told my counselor, I said, see, this is why... this is why people turn to alcohol and drugs, and this was just my opinion at the time, because I had a strong sense of wanting to have the pain go away, you know,
yeah.
and the mm-hmm. only thing at the time was the thought that, like, alcohol is a quick fix, you know, it will, mm-hmm. it will numb me. I did not turn to drinking, but I acknowledged the fact that my DNA, my blood longed for ceremony. I needed sweat. I needed to be hidden away.
Yes, yes.
I needed to be held and covered, and we need more of that. And
mm-hmm.
ceremony, community surrounding us, having a safe space to talk. Those are things that can hold us and hide us from the world that surrounds us.
Yeah.
That we walk in every day. I remember going to powwow when we had them before pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was there, I felt like I was somewhere else. I was where
That's
I belonged.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where I needed to be. I felt love and power. And I didn't talk to too many people. Like, I would see people I knew in community, you know, but just being in that space,
mm-hmm.
it's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I touched on this, I think, the last time we talked about how just being in that space, being able to be in that space, even though we're not talking, we're not communicating, we're just maybe sitting off to the side, just trying to get a feel for it, you know. But that's important too.
Mm-hmm.
Just be in that space.
I am so blessed by everything that you shared. And I'm so sorry about your mom. But I'm so grateful for her generous, loving spirit that lives on. And you have your whole life to find love. I feel like somebody out there listening to us needs to hear that. That maybe you weren't loved properly as a child, or maybe you didn't have the right community around you as a teenager, but you have your whole life filled with people who will love you and who will think you're amazing and want to be part of your life. You have your whole life to be loved, and you have your whole life to love others. When we come back from break, we're going to continue this medicine, this good medicine conversation. And I want to thank Adam H. Board of Franklin County for sponsoring it and making it possible. We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhea.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are 3
voices.
You want this drum over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans. Who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker, new from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. What's the world forget?
What a blessing transparency is. What a blessing it is when people are authentic and gracious enough to share their truth with us. That's medicine. It's good medicine. And it's also ceremony. Conversation is ceremony. Our medicine man told me that when I first started this show. He said that conversation was sacred. Conversation was ceremony. Conversation was medicine. That everything in everything that we see starts with a conversation. Creator had a conversation and created the whole world. And so I'm so happy to be in conversation today with this beautiful soul. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Hi, I'm Clissa Cole. I work with Perinatal Support Washington and United Indians of All Tribes, Ina McCall Family Program.
I'm so glad you're here. I really am. Can you tell us about the programs that you work for?
I can. For Perinatal Support Washington, I work with the PARC program. It is a program for BIPOC community members. We have a Spanish-speaking provider who is Hispanic, I think, so she serves the Hispanic Latinx communities. We have another one who serves the Black African-American community, and we have me, the Indigenous provider or Native American provider. I serve our Indigenous folks. And we, what the program does is we provide perinatal mental health peer support. Mm. So we serve those that are experiencing or at risk of experiencing perinatal mood and anxiety disorders.
Oh, okay.
And we use our lived experience. I'm not like a counselor. I don't have a degree, but I do have a lot of lived experience, and so I'm creating, you know, that safe space to have conversation, but in a one-on-one setting with parents. And I've heard many of them say that they prefer to meet with me than go to traditional counseling. They've acknowledged that, like, you know, it feels good to be heard and understood. And be able to have safe conversations. The other program that I work for is the Ina McCaw Family Program with United Indians of All Tribes Foundation. We serve families in King County who are pregnant with or are raising an American Indian, Alaska Native, Pacific Islander, Native Hawaiian child age 3 or younger. This includes grandparents, aunties, foster parents, you know, any caregivers. We do, like, every other week we visit with parents, and we will bring an activity for them to do together with their child. We'll talk about the baby's brain development. We also help find resources and support that they might want. It's also, you know, another form of peer support because we come from lived experience, and, you know, it's not just sitting with parents telling them how to parent their child or those things, but we get to know them, we get to know their culture, we get to understand, you know, how their family works and help them, you know, implement, you know, activities or bring awareness to, like, childhood development as well as, you know, where they're at. So to me, honestly, I feel like that's another, you know, peer-led program. I was in the program for many years with my who's now 16 years old, so it's almost 17, so she was in the program, and then my youngest was in the program as well, so I'm a past client, and I became a provider.
Wow, congratulations, that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you. I think so, too.
Yeah, it is. It's tremendous.
Yeah. I love working in the community. I love, you know, that I'm able to take the baby steps to help rebuild the village. It's really important to me because when I think about the things that I needed growing up or needed as a parent, I know that I am not the only one out there that needs those things. And,
you know, we didn't have that much back then, and I hope that I can be a matriarch, leader, and make an impact on the community in the best way possible with the best medicine that I can, you know, turning that poison into medicine, of taking those things that I didn't have, mm-hmm. and acknowledging that that fear of not wanting to do something is that trauma speaking, that trauma in my DNA saying, no, don't go there because you don't belong there, because, you know, the colonization took you away from that, so you don't belong there anymore. And facing it and saying, no, this is trauma, and you don't dictate my life, and you don't speak for me, and you don't get to take the things that were stolen from me away from me anymore.
We do have tremendous trauma, tremendous and undeniable trauma. But we have some pretty amazing blessings, too.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I hope we will do as we indigenize spaces is bring forward those blessings, those wonderful traits that are in our DNA, those abilities, the spirituality, the spiritual gifts that are in our DNA, that trauma and colonization tried to take away from us, but can't, because they're in there.
Right.
And I really want all of us to think like that. I know it requires us to turn that kaleidoscope a different way, right?
No, yeah.
To the light. But we're going to have to do it for the sake of our children and grandchildren. You know, I'm the executive director of a nonprofit, and what we find a lot of times is everyone wants to invite us during November because it's Native American Heritage Month. And they want to talk about the tragedy of Thanksgiving, or they want to talk about, oh, how sad this culture is almost extinct, and oh, how tragic. Nope. We're only coming in hot. We're only coming in with the positive things, the gifts, the talents, the tenacity, all of the things that we do well and we do right. Because if we don't celebrate those, I promise you the colonizers will not. And it amazes me when we start to answer the very real trauma with also the very real blessings, how we get balance in our sacred spaces, in our own minds, in our community. Yep, we have a hard time with this particular thing, but we are unbeatable at this other thing. And I wonder if we bring that kind of balance into our families, right? Change the narrative, put it up to the light. I wonder what we'll find for our children and even grandchildren and nieces and nephews, you know, as we move forward. So when you talk about building community and your vision for your community, what does that look like?
That looks like having, like, my vision is having a program for families, for youth. I want to take, like me personally, I want to take what I do at Perinatal Support Washington, and I want it in our community. I don't want it provided to our community by a white organization.
Right.
I want it in the community, led by our indigenous people. I want to see a space where we have a shelf full of blankets so that we can wrap parents in them when they lose a child, when they lose an elder. I want funding to help with funeral costs instead of families having to set up GoFundMe and depending on the last minute financial assistance, not knowing if they'll be able to give the ceremony that they want. I want a space where we can gather as aunties, as uncles, as elders, and surround our family members in ceremony when they lose a loved one, or when our our young women have their first moon. I want to give back our ceremonies. I want them to know that they are sacred. I want our young people to know that they are sacred and they are beautiful, and that while we carry this trauma in our DNA, we do carry some medicine in our DNA. But as my mother called me Red Berry Woman and telling me that I turn poison into medicine, I want our youth and our community and our aunties, our uncles, our parents, I want them to know that they can turn poison into medicine too, that they carry that magic, that they carry that ability. I want a safe space where we can gather. Like, you know, I don't, I have a vision, you know, of, and I don't know where it's going to come from, you know, but United Indians of All Tribes Foundation has a beautiful space. It is a sacred space to me. It is a second home. I would love to have that space for our families to gather and talk about real life situations. I would love that space to be somewhere where we can gather and have real conversations. You know, I know that Bernie White Bear had a vision for that space.
Mm-hmm.
He worked really hard to get that space. You know, it's sacred. It's sacred for our communities. It's sacred for our families. It's sacred to our youth and our elders. And I want to see it, though. I want to see it become what Bernie White Bear had envisioned, a space for our youth, for our elders, for our parents, for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's as far as I've gone.
That's amazing. I mean, that's fantastic. And I hope, I'm not trying to make up work for you to do, because that's how people do me. You know, like, you can do this, do that. And that's how I ended up doing everything, right? But I am saying this visionarily. I believe that if you were to start your own nonprofit, Red Berry Woman, Inc., you would be amazed at the people who would join in your journey for that vision. So just put those dreams, I mean, keep them alive. Keep them as part of you. Keep them as part of your destiny. And start to watch for the help that Creator is going to send as you manifest that destiny.
Absolutely. My life, my journey, I don't see it as just mine. Mm-hmm. It belongs to my community. It belongs to my children. Everything that I hold, you know, I hold this truth and I hold this vision for those that come after me.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's beyond beautiful. And, you know, I think that Creator, his eyes are going to and fro, like back just all over the earth, looking for someone whose heart is to help others, to love others. On a big scale, on a small scale, in between, it doesn't matter. And I believe that, you know, Creator's first language is love. And so when he hears love coming out of anyone's heart, you have his attention. You have his help. You have his guidance. You have his wisdom. Because love is truly what the Creator is. We are so blessed by you and your willingness to open your heart and share what you know with others. And just as we go, you know, as we close, I want to make sure, is there anything else you want us to know or you want to share with us that we may not have had a chance to touch on yet?
You know, I don't know. I know that every time I meet with you, I have no idea where the conversation's going to go. It just goes. And I think that that's the beautiful part about meeting with you.
Hmm.
And that's why I just love accepting your invite. It's good medicine for me. I just want to say that if there's anyone listening that is lost or unsure of where to turn, longing for that ceremony, longing for that connection, longing for our community. I know that we live in this world where, you know, society says we have to talk and we have to, you know, use our voice and we have to introduce ourselves. But for me, I don't see any problem in just going and sitting, scoping the area out, find a way to see if you can feel the love and the interfaces and spaces that you might feel concerned or scared to go into. I mean, it's a really huge step to find community. It's a very huge step to step out of our trauma comfort zone. And I say that because I know that my trauma puts me in this comfort zone of being distant from people and secluding myself and shutting down and shutting people out. And I try really hard not to do that because I know that I have a community to serve. But it took me a while to get to where I'm at. You know, I didn't become this person overnight. It took people sitting with me and listening. It took me being able to trust people. It took me being able to advocate for myself. And it's okay. It's okay to say that's not what I need to hear right now. And it's okay that if you go somewhere, you know, to scope out the community or scope out the space, that there's a door. You can go in and out of it at any time if you don't feel safe, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel like that space is for you. It's okay to navigate what you need to heal, to find your way. But the world brushes us. But in our sacred space, like for me, home is my sacred space. It's my safe place. I get to dictate how my environment works. And in doing that, I've learned that I can do that outside of the world too, or outside in the world as well. So it takes time. Be patient with yourself. Be kind. But you carry good medicine, even though you might not feel it or see it now. You have that good medicine in you. Your ancestors are with you. And you carry this DNA, this unique, beautiful, sacred DNA with purpose. You are your ancestors.
When they reminisce over you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will never mention any of the flaws that trouble you. They will talk about the love and the grace. And one of our great indigenous values is hospitality. And people always think that means a great big feast or, you know, a dinner party or something big and important. But hospitality simply means, in our language, to move over and make room. That's all. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text chat, whether it's Zoom or FaceTime, whether it's, you know, being kind to someone, whether it's listening to someone, whatever it is, we can all in our lives move over and make room. I believe in you. I believe in what you are doing, and you are doing amazing things, and I really appreciate you sharing with them, sharing them with us and with our friends who listen today. It's been a blessing to have this good medicine conversation with you.
Thank you. It has been an honor and a privilege. Starting to get used to doing these interviews. And so I reflected this morning on the growth that I've had, even though things feel so uncertain at times for me, that from the very first interview we did to now, that I have grown even through the challenges that I face. And so I thank you, and I appreciate you having me.
It's always our pleasure. And I want to thank everyone who listened to this conversation today, everyone who made this conversation possible. We are so grateful. We are. We're thankful. And I can't wait until we're all together again next time. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and this is A Conversation with Dawn Karima,
and we're looking forward to next time.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.